Portage Health Foundation is proud to introduce you to Superior Educator Jessica Hendrickson of Stanton Township Public Schools. Jessica is the glue that keeps their school together. Her cheerful energy can be felt through emails and heard over phone and in person. She is quick to respond to questions or concerns from all parents. She is very welcoming and especially to new students who benefit from seeing her friendly face. If you know an amazing educator like Jessica, go to superioreducators.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Superior Educator.
Welcome to another edition of Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. We are brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. You can learn more about them at phfgive.org. City of Houghton has a big bill coming up if they're going to tear down the parking deck. And they have some property that they're not using, and maybe one situation can help out the other. So let's welcome in Houghton City Manager Eric Wara to talk about what property the city might have available for sale and how you go about doing that and how much money city can raise for that to help out this ongoing project. Eric, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. I mean, really, it's certainly about we've got a big bill coming up. I mean, for better or for worse, we've ended up in a situation that this parking deck is going to have to be addressed by the taxpayers now.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of conversations about that already.
Yeah. Refresh me as to how much we're talking about to tear down the big parking deck.
I mean, it's a big number. It's going to be around $1 million.
What does that get us? If we tear down the parking deck and spend $1 million, does that just take it down and leave a big scar? Or does that involve some rehab of the property around it so that at least it looks decent till we figure out what else goes there?
Well, right now the basic project would be get it down, get the surface parking restored to basic surface parking. But if you look at the area, it's that $1 million isn't going to buy you a sidewalk on the north side of Lakeshore Drive or trees or, you know, those amenities, streetlights type of thing. That $1 million doesn't buy you that. We're going to try to leverage that investment to see if we can possibly get some funds from MEDC or other avenues to really possibly do an enhancement of that area, streetscape. Similar to what was done on Sheldon in 2009, maybe not to that extent, but that $1 million really only buys you taking it down. So, you know, and speaking, you know, in the context of this, of other city properties or selling city properties, it's not just to try to offset that, but when you really look at it, it's about hopefully creating some opportunity in the city for more housing. You know, I mentioned when I presented the Planning Commission and to the council, you know, 5 or 6 different ideas. They're simply ideas, food for thought, discussion starters. You know, there's no
kicking
for sale.
Kicking
it around, talking about it, because when you really get down to it, we need more places for people to live, not just students. But there's professionals, there's family, you know, families, working families, and you know, in the era we're in right now, housing is incredibly expensive and it's hard to find.
It has gone up considerably over the last couple of years. I spent some years out of radio as a real estate broker, and I'm just astounded by what has happened to property values over the last 24 to 36 months.
Right. And I think, you know, that was brought on by a lot of people wanting to get out of the larger cities, get into the smaller town atmospheres. But, you know, we're a place where people want to live. And when you look at it long term, I mean, we had some growth between 2010 and 2020, as evidenced by our census numbers. But, you know, there's still some needs out there. You know, you've got multitudes of issues. You've got that missing middle housing. You've got the question of seniors being able to age in place, so to speak, or at least age in the town they live in. They might not live in the same house, but they could still live in the town, you know, that they love and they've lived their entire lives. And you talk about mobility within the housing spec, the types of housing, you know, out there, all of those things. And, you know, looking at these things from a master planning perspective and just a measured growth perspective, you know, the city owns some property which could be of better use to the taxpayers than just sitting there.
How does the city get that kind of property? Where does it come from in the first place?
Well, you know, these things, they're acquired over the years. I mean, you look at some properties like our waterfront trail. You know, portions of that waterfront trail were acquired from Copper Range, which was used, and Copper Range and the railroads back in the day, that, you know, when they were no longer there, the city acquired that property. We've got a beautiful park system now with that property. There's other properties which may have been acquired for, or say in advance of a project which was going to happen, which never did. I mean, I think there's the property along East Lakeshore Drive, which was acquired by the city. That was in expectation. There was a plan afoot at one point in time to relocate a portion of College Avenue, you know, as a bypass around what we know as College Avenue now. The city purchased that property. You know, maybe that project will happen. And it didn't, you know, it just didn't work out that way. So there's a lot of ways it happens. And, you know, the property behind behind Walmart, there's 120 plus acres back there that the city owns, that it was acquired. It was the price. I'm assuming the price was right at some point in time.
It was a deal too good to pass up.
It was a deal too good to pass up. And maybe we'll have a higher and better use for it someday. Well, maybe someday's coming for some of these properties.
Well, and as long as the city owns those properties, you get nothing back from them if you're not actually using them for something. They're not on the tax rolls.
No, they're certainly not on the tax rolls. And you know, looking at it, again, this was this conversation that I wanted to initiate with the Planning Commission and the Council and with the greater community is these could be put to a better use. Maybe if they were in the private sector, somebody would put housing on it. And I think that's where, you know, whether it's that or it's even, you know, bring up the parking deck property, you want to bring that up too, is, you know, the city's in the driver's seat for what would happen there, because we wouldn't just sell a piece of property, just, you know, somebody shows up waving a checkbook type of thing. The thought would be it would have to be accompanied by a plan for development, which would be part of the purchase agreement.
Yeah, you could put a deed restriction on it.
You could put deed restrictions or have a development agreement with a buyer that we will sell you this piece of property, but in return for selling that piece of property to that party, they agree that they're going to do certain things, and we can, you know, we can guide and really restrict what those things are or promote what those things are. If we'd like to see someone develop something as housing, you know, we can name the number of units. We can tell them how tall it can be. We could do all those things, which if a piece of property is exchanged between two private sector people, all we have is our zoning ordinance to fall back on. But in this case, the cities, the taxpayers are really in the driver's seat.
Of course, on the flip side of that, the more limitations you put on, the more limitations you have on who might be interested
exactly.
in it and what they might pay for it.
Right, exactly. So it's really, you know, going forward, if someone is interested in something, well, then we start to talk about it. We're not, like I brought it up in the meeting, we're not going to be pounding for sale signs up and just looking for all takers. We're going to get this word out there. If someone's interested, come to us with a plan. Let's discuss it. Maybe the Planning Commission discusses it, the Council discusses it, and then decide if we want to sell it to someone.
So let's talk a little bit about what the city owns that would be considered as surplus. You've mentioned a couple of things, mm-hmm. a little bit of waterfront area. There's that rather large parcel behind Walmart that the city owns. What other parcels exist?
Well, I had several examples in the presentation that I did. We've got, there's nothing truly waterfront aside from one, which is, you know, I felt a little bit like a heretic talking about the RV park. But when you look at the RV park, the city RV park, which is west of Kestner Park, does that really serve the best use for the taxpayers of Houghton? You know, does it? And that's a discussion which could be had. So, you know, there's that piece. There's a piece, like I said, along East Lakeshore Drive, which is literally just a grassy hill, a weedy hill right now, which, you know, it's not a perfect piece of property, but it might fit some development plan that someone has if the word was out there that it was available. The city owns the Hodge Building, which is the chamber office. You know, that corner at Franklin Square right there.
Which has a large vacancy behind it,
Now it also has a vacancy next to it. But you look at that, is that, you know, because the chamber office, the KEDA office could be in another location. It doesn't need to be right there necessarily. for the way our chamber and KEDA function. They could be, there's probably a better spot for them somewhere. Is that spot attractive to someone? You know, if you had made the overture that that piece of property may be available, maybe someone has a development plan which would mesh really well with the city's master plan. You've got the city center. You know, we've got, you know, close to 40,000 square feet of space downtown that we're only using, 10,000 of it.
Well, there was conversation a couple, 3 years ago, I remember, when the loan company decided to move out and first they talked with you about purchasing
the building.
That didn't work out eventually, but there was talk at that point about where might the city go if the building were to be sold.
And there were different opportunities at that time. And you know, when Midwest had, made some overtures about buying the building, I think the overriding factor in those negotiations was to keep them here. And I mean here in the Keweenaw,
The jobs.
The jobs.
Keep the jobs. Whether or not somebody had to drive back and forth across the bridge to get to the job, you wanted them here. You didn't want them in Marquette.
Or Madison or wherever. Those stayed here, and they were able to find better space that they could grow in much easier than they could have in the city center. It just happens to be in Hancock. But that's a net gain for the area, or at least they stayed here and they're able to grow here.
And that had been kind of the goal from the beginning, to use that space as a business incubator for them, it incubated.
They started in one office in that building and grew to basically needing everything above the city office. And, more power to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talking with Houlton City Manager Eric Wara about property in the city that might be available for use by private investors, perhaps to develop something, at least maybe get it back on the city tax rolls and bring in some revenue that might be able to help with certain projects, particularly perhaps. The parking deck, which is going to cost $1 million to tear down. So how do you go about making this available? I assume you just can't call up a broker and say, hey, we got all these parcels, let's write a few listing agreements.
Yeah, and realistically, I don't know that, I mean, that question was asked during some of the meetings, and I don't know that that's the best route for us to go. There's other avenues. MEDC has their Michigan Economic Development Corporation. As part of our redevelopment ready status with them, they have kind of a site selection tool on MEDC's website, which you can basically drop pins on a map and, people that are looking for sites for housing or sites for retail can go, they go there to look for site, to do site selection. There's another tool out there that property development types look at. It's called Zoom Prospector. Not Zoom like we do Zoom meetings, but it's a kind of a different animal entirely. But it's basically the same thing, where it's a listing service without the realtor, so to speak. This isn't for houses or an individual store. This is for sites. Things.
Yeah, for development of, in many cases, some rather complex projects.
And they could be complex projects. They could be as simple as an apartment building. And really going back to the question of what good are these properties doing the taxpayers now and growing the tax base? Well, the tax base is what supports all this other stuff that everyone likes to use. The parks, the streets, the police. That's if you're not growing that tax base to keep up with expenses, simple inflation every year, then it gets harder and harder to provide those services. So we have to look at ways of growing the tax base in order to, not only tread water, but to hopefully offer people more for their tax dollars.
Because you're not going to make the city any bigger. At this point, I don't see a whole lot of big plans that would come up that would annex part of Portage Township, and Portage Township would probably not be thrilled with the concept.
They might not be thrilled with that either. So when you get down to it, and we have the infrastructure. I mean, that's really when you talk about growth, is maximizing the use of the infrastructure that you have. There's a word in urban, they call it densification. Now, you don't want to be so dense like you're like a big concrete jungle type of city, but we have the infrastructure, we have the space to do more with what we have without having to go and pave a mile of new road or install new water lines and sewer lines. We can kind of fill in these gaps within what we have in order to grow. And that's the primary focus, is not geographically growing, but really filling in those blank spots within what we have.
So a little bit more tax revenue for the city, perhaps some revenue from selling the properties themselves.
Right.
I'm assuming that there's a public process that would have to be gone through here, and that you're envisioning, and you've mentioned that you're envisioning a discussion coming up probably several levels of discussion before any decisions are to be made.
Exactly, because ultimately these things are the decision of the city council. It's my job to bring them things in a lot of cases that they may need to make a decision on. So if someone made an overture to the city that they wanted to buy property X and they had a development plan that was laid out, let's discuss it. Let's have a planning commission meeting about it. Does it meet the goals of the city's master plan? And realistically, the one thing that is probably the most important, the city can't just sell a piece of property. It's got to be appraised. We can't sell it for less than the appraised value. So there's a long process that we'd have to go through in order to make something, a change like that. So, we haven't done that yet. We were trying that once and it didn't work out so well.
Is there a process by which citizens might say, hey, wait a minute, you've got that little grassy thing down by Lakeshore Drive. Maybe our group would like to develop this into a little park or something.
Well, a group would want to develop it into a park, but it really comes down to the ongoing cost of operating something. I mean, we have parks, we have a lot of green space, you know, whether people say so or not. I mean, Houghton's doing very well with public green space in town or public parks in town. But when you get down to it, that's all very expensive. The grass has to be cut. You know, trees have to be planted. It has to be lit. You know, there's constant maintenance to do on these things. And a lot of our parks are, three decades plus old. You know, we had to do a ton of work in 2016, I believe, in Kessner Park.
Yeah.
To kind of save that park. Because the infrastructure on which it was built wasn't doing so well, so we had to go in there and do quite a bit of work.
You mentioned the RV park mm-hmm. a while back as potentially something that ought to be looked at, and nobody's saying we're going to get rid of the RV park at this point. Don't jump to any conclusions. But are there other things that the city owns at this point that are being used that maybe could be repurposed? I mean, where are we dumping snow? Where are we?
And a lot of those places, that's one place, I've looked at over time, we dump snow there. But you know what? We've only got so many places we can dump snow.
We have to put it someplace.
Right. And so there's a certain amount of infrastructure, let's say property, that is in constant use, to the benefit of the taxpayers, whether it's the DPW garage or it's the snow dump. People don't realize that, but that's a benefit to the taxpayer to have a snow dump in town, because if we had to drive the snow 10 miles out of town.
At the price of gas. Diesel? Oh, my word.
So it does make noise. It does take forever to melt, but it's.
But that's a point of pride. We can say we still have a big pile of snow here on Flag Day.
Yeah, pride. Put that in quotation marks.
Yeah, well,
notoriety, pride. I don't know which it is.
We can brag about it to our downstate friends.
Yes. So most of the property that the city owns, you look at it, you've got, we've got our water plant property, you've got Nara Park. Well, a lot of these are established uses, and what, those five or six that I had kind of tossed out there, in that PowerPoint presentation were really about non-utilized or underutilized property, or property that may have more potential. You look at the city center. The biggest issue with the city center, people have been interested in the city center, not just Midwest Loan. There's been a lot of other parties interested in that building, but then it comes up to, well, okay, well, where do you put the city office? And it it doesn't make, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense to say, oh, we'll just go and build another one, because now you're incurring debt to do that. So there's got to be a reasonable way of, say, finding other digs for the city office if we were to sell the building, and that might have to be part of some development agreement somewhere. So, you know, we're not going to just do this. Oh, we can sell the city center for X, but it's going to cost us five times X to relocate. Well, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
Exactly.
No, we wouldn't do that. That makes no sense at all.
Right.
The city center, on the other hand, was not built to be municipal offices.
No.
It's been adapted over the years.
Over 100-plus years.
Yeah, it's perhaps not the most efficient place.
There's a lot of hallways in that building.
Yeah,
yeah.
you can get lost in that place if you're not careful.
But it is serving its purpose, and right now it's providing us what we need to operate. So, if for whatever reason there was a good development plan, a good price, we would still have to find that place that we can still deliver that level of service to the public as well.
And it is a very visible location, and it puts the city and the police department right out in front of people.
Exactly. As soon as you get downtown, there's the city office, there's the bus stop, right across from the post office. You know, it is a great spot. And, people had joked, well, why don't you put the city office behind Walmart? Well, yeah, you could, but it's not going to be really convenient because, I mean, we still have people that want to come in to pay their bill. You know, which you get to talk to people, and they come in to the police department, and it's accessible, for people.
It is one of the things that makes downtown still very vibrant, that this is where you go to do your business with the city.
Exactly.
If the city moves out of downtown, that changes the focus.
That would change the dynamic entirely. So, any those previous plans, looking at possibly relocating the city center, but it's got to be in the city center. It's got to be, and downtown is kind of the center of everything because just about all traffic flows through Montezuma and Sheldon Avenues because the bridge is there.
Yeah.
So that's the spot the city office should be. Is accessible to everybody.
Talking with Houghton City Manager Eric Wara, some exciting news, and as we're talking property here, there's a building at the west edge of downtown Houghton, got some state funding approved the other day, significant amount of state funding to help a local developer rehab that building. It's the small one next to the old Kirkish store there. Work's underway.
Yeah, work is underway. They're actually working on the ground floor of the building right now. There's a partial basement and a crawl space under the building, which is being fixed up right now so they can get a floor in the building and really get going on it. And, as long as keep our fingers crossed, the lights will be on and the open sign and everything will be up come, this fall, which will be great for that end of town, that block, to have another building, because between what's down there now, it's pretty vibrant, but anything you can add to that is just going to add to the vibrancy of that end of town.
What about the old Kirkish building? Because people ask me all the time about this. There were some plans for it a few years ago. They kind of fell through. Anything that you're aware of with that?
I do know that there are a couple parties in talks with the owner right now about plans for that building. And, that's about all I can say about it.
Sure. I don't want you to give anything away that would betray a confidence.
No, I don't want to do that.
We might kill the deal.
Well, certainly,
but
folks talking and people have plans and they just need to bring that private sector part of it needs to bring it to fruition and then maybe the city can get involved.
With a couple of revitalized buildings down there, that would really do wonders for that end of Sheldon Avenue.
It certainly would. And I mean, you look at we've got the other end, the Bookworm. Used to be the Bookworm.
Yes.
Now is Nitro Consulting. They've got plans that they're working on for that building as well. Not just what it is now, but what it's going to be eventually, which I think will be another great addition, to our downtown. Kind of bookends, really, when you think about it, because the core of downtown has been pretty stable.
Yeah.
So
in regards to some excess city properties that might be repurposed, is there a timetable going ahead with this?
Not necessarily. I mean, you don't. Sometimes it might take. Who knows? Maybe I'll get back to the office after this, taping, and you know there'll be a voicemail from somebody. But really, there's no real timetable because we have time. You know, nothing has to change. But if it's going to change for the better, that might take time. It might happen sooner. It might happen later. We've just gotta get some process moving instead of just kind of sitting on our hands waiting for something to happen.
And again, it will be a very public process and lots of discussion before anything happens or any decisions are made. Eric Wara, Houghton City Manager, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Stay tuned because we'll talk with State Senator Ed McBroom next on Copper Country Today.